Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, Blog Talk Radio Nation? It is Friday the 13th. I swear we did one of these shows before this year. But,
we just freaked out our system, too.
Yeah, I know. It was the freaky system. It is the cutting room floor. Welcome back once again on the News and Comment Radio Network, where we can be found in a variety of ways, whether we are on Twitter at News Comment BTR, on Facebook at News and Comment Network Blog Talk Radio, or now on the wonderful world of iTunes under the podcasting section. I am LeVar, and as always, with me, my wonderful co-host, Mary. What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and I have to, at first, I don't have, like, the sound effects for a virtual kiss, but if I could, kiss to you and everyone out there, as it is National Kiss Day. As quoted on Twitter. So I guess Twitter now is telling us which national days there are. Go on out. Kiss whoever you want. But we are not to blame. I'm going to help my lawyers. We are not to blame for what happens should you do that. There's some pretty bold people out there. I'm just going to put it that way.
Wow, giving them the okay.
Well, I gave the disclaimer. Don't go out and do that and then get, like, slapped and sued. And, yeah, only within reason. speaking of kissing, you know, the dating life is very, very interesting out there. And I don't know how to put this. Okay, well, when you're looking for a guy, what do you normally look for when you go out and you see a guy out there? I mean, which one of the things you're looking for?
Wedding ring?
That's important. But do you have time to, do you have time to, like, smell them?
Oh, if I could.
Nah, I don't want you to, like, go out in public and just be starting to sniff people, because then that could also lead
to
the same
problem. Oh, no, you
have
to do it discreetly. Like, give them a hug. Get in close. See, bars are good for that. You have to kind of get in close because it's loud.
Okay. So, I mean, when you do hug, I mean, is that what you're sniffing for? You sniff to see what type of cologne they, you know, wearing or how they smell?
Yeah, sometimes. Most of the time, it's for the hug.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with you. But there is a reason now where if someone is smelling you, it may be a part of the next big dating trend. A few weeks ago, for our loyal listeners who will recall, we talked about this study that were being done with pheromones, which are, of course, the biochemical scents released by fauna in Florida, eliciting involuntary response in cohorts, predators, and prey. But we mean, in this case, sex pheromones. Now I'm starting to think Nine Inch Nails is a closer song.
Nice.
But there is a lady in, her name is Ms. Prey, and the article was over at shine.yahoo if you want to find out more. But she did something where she asked singles who were ready to go on out and get into the dating world to put on plain white T-shirts for 3 days and place those undershirts in a plastic bag with their numerical designation. And later on, attendees at a dating party would pretty much sniff Sniff these shirts to find the most interesting ones that kind of stirred the loins, so to speak. And partygoers seem to have had a good time. And recently, she held a party in New York, and it resulted in 12 relationships and a lot of hookups. So I'm going to ask to you, by the way, it's also noted in this article that some scientists believe that hormone treatments such as birth control pill can affect our brain's ability to pick out the good ones by odor, and that could have a hand in the uptick, it says, in divorce, but I don't know about that. But anyway, are you buying, or if you had a chance to go to one of these said parties, would you, and does smell play a lot into what stirs your hormones, so to speak?
Not to my knowledge. I'm sure I find some smells more attractive than others. I mean, that's to be expected, I guess. I mean, if you think about it, it makes some sense.
So, if I perhaps, if I did a blind smell test on you, the first fella came up wearing high karate. The second fella came up wearing Brute. And the third fella came up wearing the brand new Old Spice Fiji. You're not going to tell me that you're not going to pick the fella wearing the Old Spice Fiji?
I don't know. I don't know, because you got to remember, I'm a military brat, so that Brute brings back memories of sailors and the other word that goes with sailors. So I might not. And if he's got that great sailor mustache, no, I'm just kidding.
Now
I'm
thinking of it.
Consciously, I would probably go, if, and that's the thing, everybody smells different. Some people smell really good in Brute. High karate,
yeah,
that's a little iffy. I don't think I'm going to be doing the high karate. But some people do smell really good in Brute. But it really depends. Yeah, some people smell good in certain things and be like, and there are other people that I know I've said too, wow, you smell really good. And what do you, you know, what's the cologne you're wearing? And they would be like, I'm not wearing cologne. I don't wear cologne, you know.
Does that stir up, I mean, does that stir up for women, like the guy's scent or smell? I mean, is that, like, more likely to push it over to them? I mean, if a guy stood there, he had $1 million and a Ferrari, and he smelled kind of like the garbage dump, that would be a turnoff, wouldn't it?
Some people, yeah. Other people, the $1 million and the Ferrari would overturn the garbage dump. it really depends. It depends on what. Like I said, I'm a military brat, so like Brute brings back memories. When somebody comes in at my 9-to-5 and smells of Brute, it automatically puts me back on base, you know. And I automatically think about things that happen on base, and not like in a sexual manner, but most of the time it's just, oh, military. That's so cute, you know.
I left off the joke on Musk. But,
That's amazing. Wait, they still make that?
I have no idea, but if you, anyway, I think.
Designer imposters.
The designer imposters. Somebody's going to be, somebody, if you find it on eBay, somebody's still going to have Jovan Musk. Only reason I bring up the Brute thing, which is so funny, and I'm going to digress here. My older brother, you know, growing up in the 80s, my older brother here in Chicago, true house head, used to go out to all the clubs and stuff like that when he was younger. And I knew when he was going out, because every Friday or Saturday night, you know, he'd go and take a shower, and he'd take a nice long shower, and then after that, you know, him and his buddies would be over, and he'd be upstairs, and next thing you know, and I kid you not, on the next floor, I could smell him before he came and after he passed me, and that smell of Brute would whiff in the air for about, I think, hours on end. And yes, so my recollection of Brute is in the 80s, and yeah, and nothing wrong with Brute. I'm pretty sure Brute's good. If they want to sponsor our program, that's fine. But, so if you have Ruth and you walk past Mary, she's now going to have memories.
Memories of Navy officers and enlisted men. See, I was going to say the word, but I'm not.
But go ahead. We're all family here.
No, I was going to say Navy seamen, but...
That's fine.
And now all the bases are trying to figure out what my phone number is.
They'll all be calling next week.
1-800-HOT-BABE. I'm number 43.
Really? Marking it down.
No.
Speaking of going out, and speaking of, I'm just going to get right into it. You're a beer drinker?
Not normally.
Not normally?
I have drank beer, and it has to be good beer. But I'm not a Keystone, Coors Light. Well, I am a Coors Light girl. Okay, so yes, I drink beer.
You left off old style, but I'm going old school now.
A beast. Sorry.
Remember those little, peel-off, tabs, back then? Okay, never mind.
You're dating yourself.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, back on track for those of you who drink beer. There's an interesting study. Researcher at the University of Illinois Chicago says that downing a couple of brewskis may actually improve one's creative problem-solving abilities. Cognitive psychologist Jennifer Wiley and her colleagues tested subjects' prowess at a creative problem-solving booth where sober and at various stages of intoxicated people were at. And they found that at 0.07 blood alcohol, people were worse at working memory tasks, but they were better at creative problem-solving tasks. They go on to explain, and they said that the alcohol helps study participants access remote ideas, ideas that develop through association, not linear analysis. So, in fact, linear reasoning can keep people focused on ideas they think are important but really aren't. So, for example, if she asked you to tell her what word goes with the following, blue, cottage, and Swiss, and you said cheese, you would be accessing your remote ideas, not linear ones. So that is, you associate blue, cottage, and Swiss with cheese, a commendable and a constructive thing to do. And very interesting here, but of course, if you're going to drink like 5 or 6 beers, I haven't helped you to know what your thinking is going to be. And we are in no means telling anyone to go out and drink a ton of beers and have a high blood alcohol. We don't say that. Just a study. So next time you're at the bar, just wonder if your thinking gets a little better or your creative problem-solving skills. But then again, can't you put that with all alcohol?
Yeah, you should. You should be able to put it with all alcohol. I don't think it's just beer. But even beyond that, is it really that big of a surprise? Most people have to think creatively to get out of that ticket when they get pulled over.
Yeah.
It was the NyQuil. I swear, Ossifer, it was the NyQuil.
Yeah, you think more people come with more excuses at that point, and they can think way better once those lights kind of flash in the back. So the tip of this is, don't drink and drive, kids. But yeah, it's very interesting that when you are in a safe environment, how quickly you can think.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I always associate cottage with cheese.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't always. But when you say those three things together, that's the first thing I thought of was cheese. And I am not drinking yet. You're like, yes.
Not drinking it for lunch. What'd you have for breakfast?
Vodka cranberry. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But speaking of beer also, we've got two stories for you, two for the price of one. Is that the hottest new discovery in the beer world may actually be frozen. That's because a team of inventors at the Japanese brewery giant, Corin, have figured out how to create frozen foam and dispense it on top of beer like soft-serve ice cream. Before I even go into this story, I don't know really how...
They want a beer cappuccino.
I guess, but don't you have to drink to that foam, or it's going to touch your lips?
It's like a beer root beer float.
I'm following, but I don't know if I'd like to know. First of all, what does it say for a beer that you've got to go over to a machine and dispense this frozen foam? I mean, if it doesn't already have a head on it, I'm thinking at that point it's kind of flat. But I don't know what the purpose of that is. I mean, if you keep the beer nice and cold, there should be no need for this frozen foam. But the foam is frozen at 23 degrees Fahrenheit, and air is continuously blowing to it. And literally ice-cold beer is placed onto regular or frozen beer, and it acts as an insulating lid, keeps the drink cold for 30 minutes. So, I don't know. I think we come out with more of this. It gets a little better. And I know this is where Mary said that she's going to try this for us. But there's an Atlanta craft brewery called Frozen Pints, and it's decided to focus on making a product that is literally cool. It's going to be selling ice cream made from craft beer flavors such as peach lambic, pumpkin ale, and cinnamon espresso stout.
Mm-mm. Nice.
So are you buying or selling the whole thing of frozen beer?
I don't want frozen beer. I like cold beer. I mean, I'd rather have cold beer than hot beer. Warm beer is just not, that's just gross. When somebody comes out with, like, a hot coffee beer beverage, that's going to be like, But frozen, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, it's like a beer root beer float, and I don't know.
I guess as long as they don't have, like, frozen beer on a stick, I think we're good.
Beer on a stick. That's amazing.
coming to a county fair near you, frozen beer on a stick.
We need more things on sticks.
Yes. But you know what? What I like about today's show is that I'm kind of going in order here, because with drinking, sometimes comes that little sleeping in period. Now, do you use an alarm clock, or are you one of the many people that now have switched to using their phone as an alarm clock?
I still use an alarm clock.
Huh. Interesting.
I have my phone as a backup.
Which, I'll buy that, because, you know, if the electricity goes out, you still have something. Phone's not going to go out when the electricity goes out. So, but this comes from Hoboken, New Jersey. There is a brand new alarm clock on sale for $350. And no, it does not have like an iPod dock, or no, it does not have a computer capability. It's a simple alarm clock. But if you unplug it, a battery takes over, and as wake-up time approaches, you cannot reset the alarm time. And yes, if you're thinking what I'm thinking already, it is the world's most exasperating alarm clock. Now, once it goes off, to stop it, you have to get out of bed, go into the kitchen or bathroom, and punch the day's date into a telephone-style keypad. Now, that's the only way to stop the loud ding-ding designed to sound like a customer angrily banging on a concierge bell in a hotel. It was invented by Paul Samet, a 25-year-old engineer who lives in Hoboken, and during the day he builds and researches underwater robots and vehicles at the nearby Stevens Institute of Technology. He said he started working on it because he was finding it hard to get up and make it to work on time after college. And they currently have 400 orders in place, and he's trying to fill all the clock orders by the end of the summer. But he does acknowledge that there is one way to stop the alarm without getting out of bed. He says you can smash it.
Nice.
I'm a little worried about that, though. Once you get out of bed, who's going to really be, I mean, before your first morning cup of coffee, who's really going to be that awake to punch in the day's date to a keypad?
Well, considering so many people ask me during the day, what's today's date again? That might actually be a good thing.
What is today's date?
The Friday the 13th.
No. I never watched that. I've never watched that movie.
There's like 9 of them. You do know that, right?
I do know that, but I've never watched that movie.
You need to. We'll watch them together.
Shame.
We'll do a Friday the 13th marathon.
fun. You bring the popcorn, I'll bring the, I don't know. I'll bring the beer.
I'll bring beer. Okay.
Popcorn gag. Popcorn gag is extra. Let's So I've been told. I didn't even know what that was until 2 years ago. So bad. I'm still
brilliant.
I'm going to go off tangent here because I only got one more story. But I'm trying to figure out what the popcorn gag. If you are a guy and you're going to do that at the movie theater, aren't you a little worried? I know the popcorn's not hot, you know, but aren't you a little worried? It's greasy, but aren't you a little worried about sticking said part gag into the bottom of this bucket? And but you're gonna have butter.
Well, apparently you're supposed to be bringing your own bucket.
Yes, your own. But see, then it's not really a trick, because if you're going to pull this off at the theater and you bring your own bucket, I mean, wouldn't you suggest that something's up?
Well, yeah, of course.
Oh, has anybody out there ever done the popcorn trick? I'm kind of curious as to how that actually worked for you.
No, I like the pocket trick better.
Oh. Yes.
Question?
Hole in the pocket.
What is the pocket trick? Normally, you have to be living with your significant other so that this works, but you cut a hole into significant other's pocket. Large enough for said hand. Basically, just undo the seam. Don't take the pocket out. Undo the seam. So then when you're in the movie theater, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio. You stick your hand in their pocket. And it just looks like you got your hand in their pocket, keeping your hand warm. And, well, you are. So, there you go.
You're keeping yourself warm, or you're keeping them warm?
You're keeping your hand warm. And them warm, too. It's much more discreet. That's actually much more discreet, because then you could put the popcorn bucket that you bought at the movie theater that fits with everybody else's bucket on top of your lap. And
never let it be said that this show is not a public service.
Oh, my God.
That's almost as bad as...
I'm going to die. I'm going to hell.
That's almost as bad as, like, those shirts that we talked about a couple of weeks ago where you could stick your hand in.
Yeah, with the pockets. I forgot about those.
And now we made them for the pants.
There you go. You've got pants pockets, shirt pockets. No one can go to a movie theater and sit next to any couple ever again, because they'd be like... You got
her
hand in her pocket.
Yeah. Pretty much. And you cannot use it as a pickup line at a bar.
Want to check
my
pocket?
Yeah. No, thanks.
Well, thank you. No.
But that goes up now to the wonderful world of chivalry. Hey, we've got a few minutes. I want to try and fit this in as well as the... LeVar Foster this week, but I read an article at AskMen.com, and I wanted to get the feedback of my wonderful co-host, because chivalry is kind of dying. And now I open the door, and you know, I walk on the street side when you're walking down the street, and you know, you open car doors, all that other good stuff. But AskMen.com had a few do's and don'ts as to chivalry, and one was that you do guide her through the room. You put the hand on the small of her back as you're walking together at a party or a restaurant, and just make sure to keep your hand a solid 4 inches above her behind, or you'll be crossing into that skeevy perv territory. The other one was don't write her a love letter. I'm going to get your feedback on this, because it says sending her a sappy email about how amazing your third date was might be cute to her after the first read, but at least one of the five friends she'll forward it to will convince her that the note means that you are a player or a stalker or both. So step away from the keyboard. But if someone sent you a letter saying how much they enjoyed the date, would you see that as being playerish or stalkerish?
No. I don't like that chivalry's dead. I like chivalry. No, I don't think so. As long as it's not like professing undying love. I mean, I don't need a poem.
You standing outside your window singing with a ukulele.
Right. I don't need a boombox outside my window. I don't need a poem. But if it's a quick, you know, hey, I really enjoyed myself and it was a great date and I can't wait to see you again. That kind of thing, it's very nice. If it's a love note that way. If you're going like too far into the I love the way your eyes glisten in the moonlight when you have your lashes flickering and blah, blah. I can't come up with it because I don't do love letters. But if it's something so far out there, then yeah, it might be like, it'd be corny unless somehow you made it funny. And yeah, either way, you're getting into that corny zone, so you got to be very careful.
And then a couple other ones here, pretty much for common sense ones, opening the car door, moving her to the inside of the sidewalk. One was don't insist, the other don't insist on paying for everything, because if it does, you'll come off like a show-off who's enabling her to become dependent on you for everything she wants. Then the last one, which was interesting, was don't let her win. This is throw the game, and you'll know she'll know you held back and will assume that you're sexist, or she'll believe you're actually that terrible at arm wrestling or words with friends. Neither scenario makes her want to see you again. However, if you're legitimately en route to victory, don't rub it in her face for running up the score. That's just plain being cruel. So you're agreeing with this AskMen.com list?
I am agreeing with the don't let her win one. opening the doors, although that is chivalrous, I can find it annoying. I don't need you running around the car to open my door if I could just go click and open the door. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with most of it. So, yeah.
Sure. Well, we've got about 2 minutes and 50 seconds, so I'm going to go quickly into today's LeVar files. And it was one in which I was a little bit disappointed at how far we've come with trying to one-up ourselves with food. Now, you know, over in the UK, they have now gone one step on us, and they are now offering a new pizza at their Pizza Huts there. It's a pizza crust stuffed with a hot dog. Pizza Hut's site touts this undoubtedly delicious artery-clogging offering as such. It says, quote, succulent hot dog sausage bursting from our famous stuffed crust with a free mustard drizzle. And, you know, that spread of the hot dog pizza, you know, I guess we can brag about our Doritos Los Tacos at Taco Bell, but hot dog and a pizza?
I don't know. Wow. I mean, brat stuffed pretzels. Now, those are good.
Yeah. Those are awesome, but I'm not buying a hot dog and my pizza. But we'll put the article on our Twitter page. And like I said, you can catch us there at DeuceCopyBTR. We've got less than a minute to go. Any shout outs for this week?
No. I have my parents go home, and you know, family vacay's over, so back to the daily grind. How about you?
No shout-outs this week. Nothing, really. Just a shout-out to everybody that's listening, and thank you for listening. Without you, there's no us. But, so no, that's pretty much it. As the old clock on the wall was telling us, we are now out of time. So, as usual, I'd like to thank my wonderful co-host, Mary, and, of course, I'd like to thank all of you out there in Blog Talk Radio Nation. I will see you on Sunday, and then, of course, back here next week for another edition of The Cutting Room Floor. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Peace.